Dale Ellis joins us on Sports Byline USA, played 17 seasons in the NBA, was selected in the first round by the Dallas Mavericks coming out of the University of Tennessee. And anybody that can play professional sports, particularly basketball with a pounding on the body for double-digit years, gets my respect, Dale. How hard is it to play something like professional basketball 17 years?
I was just fortunate, Ron, to be able to play as long as I did. I got with the right teams at the right time, and I had guys that were willing to sacrifice their games to get me the basketball, to score, and I had good coaching. And physically, I was fortunate there as well. I never twist my ankle. So I was able to get through that thing pretty easily. The biggest deal was to how do you get up for each and every game? And in my first professional coach, Dick Motta, the great players are able to get up for at least 80 games. They might have two games they can't seem to get up for, but you got to find ways to get excited about playing the game. It becomes a job at some point. So you have to find ways to get excited about going out and getting your job done.
And how did you do that? Because, I mean, it is a game with yourself, getting yourself up when you go game after game after game, season after season after season. And the coach can only push so many psychological buttons. And the final analysis, Dale, as you know, it comes down to the individual player.
Absolutely. You know, my goal coming into this deal was to be known as one of the best to ever play the game of basketball. I set myself short there. You know, the sky's the limit. When I teach kids, I work with young people, I try to get them to understand that your goal should be, whatever your goal is, set it as high as possible. So my goal should have been to be the best to ever play the game. And when you set goals for yourself like that, you're going to have to find ways to get your job done. It motivates you. You have to eat right. You have to live right. You're going to have to come with it every single day.
You were an outstanding three-point shooter. You had a 40% average for your career, and you were a three-point shootout champion one season in the NBA. And I remember the late Dennis Johnson saying to me, Dale, about defense, that defense was an attitude. Let me turn that around a little bit. Shooting the three-point shot, was that an attitude as well?
It was. You know, there was times when I got into slumps where I was starting to shoot the ball a little flat. I was trying to drill it into the basket instead of shooting it with arch. And then you have to find your rhythm again. But the way I was able to get back into the shooting rhythm was to block that out and just concentrate on something else. Then your game will come back to you. And it's funny that you say Dennis talked about defense, and that's what I did. I tried to lock down my opponent, stop them from scoring, and my offense will come back to me. But it's all attitude. Once you understand how to play the game of basketball, then it just becomes the mental approach. How do you get past it with the mental approach? I believe 80 to 90% is all mental.
How did teams around the NBA adapt to the three-point play? Because it is a weapon, and when it came into professional basketball, it really changed the tenor of the game. How did teams incorporate and embrace that play?
Well, when I came into the league, the three-point shot was only used at the end of a quarter, end of a half, or end of the game to produce an outcome. You have guys that are shooting a three-point ball throughout the course of a basketball game, so they're extending the court. So it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch those guys because you have to play defense out to the three-point line now. It's mental as well. When I came in, I was shooting the shots right inside the three-point line, and the coach asked me, just take a step back and shoot it. A lot of guys believe that, you know, that because it's a three-point shot, that they can't make that shot, but it's only a foot away. And anything, it's just practice. So what I did was practice that over and over.
Dale, the step up to from college basketball to the NBA, how big a step is that?
Each level is a big step, you know, from high school to college and college to professional basketball. My first year was a learning experience. I'm like any other college player getting drafted into the NBA, first-round pick, thinking I'm going to come in and make an instant impact. But it's a learning experience. So it's about being patient and waiting on the opportunity to get on the floor and show them what your talents are like.
Is there anything that can prepare you for that step up to the next level? I say that because, you know, you were a two-time SEC Player of the Year at Tennessee, but after you got drafted by the Mavs, you were often relegated to just sitting on the bench, and I would think that that would be kind of ego-shattering to some degree. And if you had been prepared for something like that, knowing that, hey, you're going to have to earn your time, you're going to have to wait until you get your opportunities, then it might have been a little bit easier for you or any other player that has to deal with the same thing. And I'm just wondering, is there anything that can be done in college that prepares anybody for professional basketball?
I can't think of anything that can prepare you for NBA basketball. When you're playing college basketball, what you're doing is attempting to win basketball games, period. So you get played out of position. In college, I played the small four, little power four. I guarded centers. I guarded two guards. But going to the NBA, and I played with my back to the basket. I was drafted as a post-up player. With my size, there's no way that I could post up a Charles Barkley or Carl Malone, those big guys, and play the power four position. So you got to prepare yourself for that outside of the arena. So, and pick up games or summer, in the summer, you work on different aspects of the game. And when you get there, see, if you don't get an opportunity to play right away, it kind of weighs on you mentally. What you have to do is stay focused. Don't lose confidence in your ability to play the game, because it can easily take your confidence away and don't get the opportunities to play. So just stay focused. Keep working hard. I use practice time as play time. So if you walked into a practice, one of our practices, you wouldn't know any of the players, you'd probably think I was one of the star players on the team. That was game time for me. So I look forward to getting on the court, working on my game each and every day.
One of my friends who went on to the National Football League, and I've heard this time and time again from rookie players, I asked them, what was the thing that they noticed the most about the NFL game, and they said the speed of the game. Let me turn that around a little bit. What did you notice watching the NBA game as the biggest difference between college and NBA?
The game has changed a lot. You're watching the games now versus back in the early 80s or mid-80s when you had Magic and Larry Bird. It was more of a fundamental game. The guys playing the game today are great athletes. They can run, they can jump. It's fun to watch. It's a big difference, and the league has implemented different things in the game as well, as far as allowing the guys to play zone defense. It's kind of taken away from the game of basketball in my mind.
No, I agree.
I like that old school basketball.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dale, wholeheartedly. I mean, when I think about the 80s and you had Showtime against the Boston Celtics, you had team-oriented basketball against team-oriented basketball. And nowadays, it seems like you've got isolation play. You're trying to get it into a couple of players' hands. Have we lost the team element to this game?
I laugh about that. I was getting ready to exit from the NBA, and I came out of the league in 2000. I kind of see the trend, what was happening. It became a one-on-one basketball game. Point guards were, in my generation, were floor generals. What they did was got everybody involved in the game, and it's, if the team was struggling, guys weren't making shots, and the guard would take over. Late in my career, you had guards coming on, and they were the scorers. They look for their shots first instead of getting guys involved in the game of basketball. So the game has evolved. It's still fun to watch. Like I said, they're great athletes. There's some great athletes. It's definitely changed.
After Dallas, and I mentioned about you were kind of relegated to sitting on the bench there, you get traded off to Seattle, and that is where you really blossomed. And I always wonder about the timing of a player all of a sudden becoming that star like you did. I mean, your average per game went from 7.1 with Dallas all the way up to 24.9 per game with the Supersonics. Now, that had to be a combination of things, your own talent. It also had to be probably the atmosphere that you were in, the coaching that you were getting, the teammates that you had. Put it into perspective for me, Dale.
Well, I didn't lose sight of the fact that I could play the game. You could sit on that bench, I said earlier, and not get an opportunity and start to doubt your abilities. I asked for a trade. I finally got the trade, and it was actually nerve-wracking because I didn't know. I don't know how to explain that, the emotion. So the drilling that was going on. But I got to Seattle, didn't know what to expect, a little nervous about it because I finally got what I wanted, was an opportunity. And I got with a good group of guys that were rebuilding. We had maybe 10 new players on that team. We were picked to lose more games than anybody in the league that year, so there was no pressure on us to win basketball games. I remember a situation where I had thrown the ball away a couple of times, and coach called timeout and said, "Dale, you're here to shoot the basketball. If you insist on passing it, you can sit down next to me." And, of course, I don't want to sit again. So he gave me the green light to shoot the ball. And he had guys on my team that sacrificed to get me the ball. And I had an excellent point guard in Nate McMillan. And we were a great combination with a 1-2 punch. It was great rhythm coming off picks, and he was able to find me in rhythm to make shots.
You hold the NBA record for most minutes played in a single game. Tell me about the November 9th, 1989 game against the Bucks.
Oh, God, that was a great game. It's unfortunate that we didn't win that game. It was like running in mud at the end of that game after 69 minutes. I remember stealing the ball at half court and going to make a layup, and Allen Robinson running me down from behind and blocking shot. A key play. He was a great defensive player. But the thing I remember most about that game is that the following night we had to play Chicago. I was facing Michael Jordan, and after that type of grueling game, you don't want to go up against a Michael Jordan. it's a memorable game. It was a fun game, and I'm happy to be a part of history and spread, playing more minutes than anybody's ever played in an NBA game.
I might point out to everybody that Dale Ellis scored 53 points in 69 minutes. That's out of a possible 73 minutes. You must have been dragging. How did you play the next night against Chicago?
I like to say I was in a slump that game. I should have had. If I was shooting the ball well, it probably wouldn't have gone 5 overtimes.
We got a couple minutes left, and I'm just wondering, when you think about the great players that you played with and against, and when you went up against a Michael Jordan or a Charles Barkley or any of that ilk, did it jack your game a little bit more? How did you approach it? Because I know my good friend Bill Russell and I talked about his battles with Wilt Chamberlain, and he said, "I knew that I couldn't beat him physically, but I had to outthink him, outsmart him and everything." So how did you approach games against the great talent in the NBA?
It was easy. It was easy. You get excited about playing against the best in the game. It's easy to get up for games like that. The most difficult part for me was getting up for a team like the Clippers, who were struggling at that time. They were a worse team in basketball. It was hard for me to get excited about playing them. There were times when you sit at home and you're getting ready to go to the arena and you're thinking, "God, I'd rather just stay here and watch a movie." But once you get into that atmosphere and those fans show up, and it's exciting, and you just get motivated to go get your job done. It's what I love doing. I still enjoy getting on the court. I still work with young players, developing talent. So, the game is always going to be a part of my life.
We only have a minute left, but you talk about the young talent that you work with today. How willing are they to be coachable? And is television and what they see in the NBA a bad influence on them today?
I always thought ESPN was a bad influence, because what they show is nothing but highlights. And when they show the highlights of the games, what they're showing is flashy plays. You might see a Michael Jordan with a crossover dribble going to the basket to dunk. And guys think, young players watching that, think that that is what basketball is all about. But it's a team sport. You got to learn how to rebound, pass, and get other players involved in the game. Just a simple entry pass into the post has been difficult for some young players.
In about 20 seconds, the 17 years in the NBA, is there a memory you're left with?
Defeating the Dallas Mavericks in the first round of the playoffs. It was my first year in Seattle. We were facing the Mavericks. We squeaked into the playoffs. We were a 50-50 team, and the Mavericks were at the best record in the NBA. So we had the worst record, so we were facing the number one team. And they beat us by an average of 35 points throughout the regular season. And the first game of the playoffs, they beat us by 35 points. And we went on to sweep them three straight games to win that series.
Dale, thank you very much. You're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline.
Thank you for calling me, Ron.
Dale Ellis with us. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.